day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will rejoice and be glad.
I will rejoice and be glad.
So we say,
Hallelujah.
abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. What he said he will do, he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. So don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Thank you. don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on you. He's able.
Song says, don't give up on God, because he's not given up on us. Amen. He loved us, and he's able to see us through. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. Giving honor to God, to Pastor Wright, Minister Tolbert, Deacon Wright, all the deacons, amen, everybody in the building, we just greet you this morning, amen, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, to my wife, to the Spirit of God, amen, in this place, and he sure is in this place, and the Lord is just dealing with my heart, even as Pastor Wright was up speaking, giving his remarks, amen, just to remind us, amen, what this thing is all about, amen, and I thank God for him, amen, and just his leadership, amen, that the blessing that he is to the body of Christ, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise for, even for what he's doing in this place? I thank God for the word. Amen, because there are many empty churches today, and I'm not talking about because of COVID and the lack of parishioners and people sitting in pews. I'm talking about a lack and an absence of the Word of God. There are empty churches, and I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about hearts, amen, who are not receiving the engrafted Word, and it's a Word that has to be engrafted in us, amen, if the Lord is truly going to be glorified. So I thank God just for the preaching and the teaching of the gospel, amen, in this church, amen. But we're not here or even planning on standing before you for an inordinate amount of time this morning. I even got my timer here today, amen. This might be the last time that I look at it, but man, we're going to look at two passages of scripture this morning. One in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter. And the second is in the book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, starting at the 18th verse. We're going to start in Ephesians, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. Amen. Where the word of the Lord reads, Paul writes, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Amen. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And our focus text is right here in this verse 10, where he says, for we are the workmanship, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse starting at verse 18, he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us, somebody say, the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And just one more time, in our focus text in Ephesians 2 and 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. If we were to choose a topic for this text, we would want to talk about the eternal work of the church. We want to talk about works that last. The eternal work of the church. Works that last. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you this morning. God, we honor and we bless you, O God. We worship you. We reverence you. Father God, we extol you, O God, because you are worthy to be praised. You are holy, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. God, you are ever faithful and you are never failing. And you are our Abba. You are our intimate Father. Heavenly Father, you've loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you, O God, it is by love, Lord God, not authority. Heavenly Father, not by force. Heavenly Father, and not out of obligation which you have drawn us, O God, but you chose to love us, O God. Heavenly Father, and we pray right now that it is by that love that you will continue, O God. Heavenly Father, to constrain us and to compel us and to convince us and to draw us, O God, and to overwhelm us, O God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, unto yourself, O God, we thank you this morning for salvation. God, we thank you for your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for the endless and unsearchable treasure, O God, Heavenly Father, of your word. And we pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us this morning the very things that you will for us, O God, intimately, Lord God, intentionally, O God, Heavenly Father, and deliberately, O God, have your way right now. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Magnify your word in this place. Heavenly Father, that we may be shaped and molded, oh God, in the image of your Son. That's your glory. That's your praise. More than what we can say. Heavenly Father, more than the motions and the things that we do, oh God. Heavenly Father, oh God, it's your life magnified in us. So I pray right now, oh God, that you would just continue to shape us. This word, oh God. Heavenly Father, that it be a tool of sculpting right now, oh God. Heavenly Father, to make us like your Son. Heavenly Father, that more than anything that we do, Lord God, the life manifested from us, oh God, would shout hallelujah. Heavenly Father, would shout your praise, would shout your glory. Heavenly Father, through these eternal works, speak to us right now, oh God. Crucify my flesh, that I won't speak of myself, oh God. Heavenly Father, handle me, oh God, like only you can, that you might be magnified, that you might be glorified in this place and in us. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. And we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And by virtue of the shed blood on Calvary's cross, our heart's soul says, amen. 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 We want to talk about the eternal works of the church. These works are works that last. We want to talk about the works that last. Amen. And recently, after about 14 years on my former job, I believe the Lord blessed me with another job, another opportunity. And I remember as I was interviewing for the job that my boss, who wasn't my boss at the time, but the person I was interviewing with had explained to me, she was explaining to me our work, the work that we're to do, the work that I was to lead as a part of this job and this role. And she talked about our CEO who was in the midst of transitioning, and he said that, you know, this is his legacy work that we're carrying out. We're carrying out the work of his legacy, meaning that out of all the things that he had done and all the things that he had accomplished as CEO of our health system, it was the work, this new work that we were doing, the work that we were carrying out. This was the work that he wanted to be remembered by. And it's not a foreign concept. It's actually quite common. People do things, right, so that you remember their name. People, they donate and endow large sums of money so that you can erect and construct buildings and edifices in their name. Amen. We have people in the sports world, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, other all kinds of other sports, where they have a hall of fame because people want to be enshrined so that they're never forgotten. People want to be remembered long after they're gone. That's part of a legacy that man wants to leave in this world. Amen. And we often, even in the church, and there was a lot of talk yesterday in ministering to the family of our dearly departed Mother Lois in talking about legacy, a man's legacy or a woman's legacy, and what it is that remains of significance or importance after he or she has departed this world. Amen. And what his or her mark or impact, and we just heard Pastor Wright talking about it, after one has departed or transitioned, amen, we talk a lot about legacy and what it is that you see, amen, and that's what we talked about a little bit even in our remarks, what we saw in Mother Lois's children, in her grandchildren, and in so many people, and her loved ones, the ones that she had impacted. What it is that we leave behind, amen, is so much more important than money. in property, in stocks, in bonds, in material things. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I want to leave something to my children one day. Amen. I'm putting something away. Amen. And I have made provision that I want to leave something to my children and my wife one day. But guess what, y'all? The greatest treasure, the greatest thing that we could ever leave anybody upon living in this world and transitioning on to glory is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing. You know why? Because they can't squander that. You can't spend Jesus Christ up. You can't run out. You can't ruin it. You can't run over. Amen. You can't mess it up. Amen. It's the treasure. It's the thing that we leave behind that man can't mess up. It's Christ Jesus himself. It's the greatest treasure. Amen. And the Bible tells us, he tells us that heaven and earth is going to pass away. And every single thing in it, all the things that we spend our time trying to acquire and build up and accomplish, amen, and obtain and sustain and maintain, all those things are going to pass away. But there's one thing that's going to last forever, and that's the word of God. Amen. He says the grass withers and the flower fades. All these things that we find and we account as beautiful here on this earth and we try to hold on to, but the Bible says that it's the word of God that's going to last forever. Listen, y'all, that's our legacy. That's what we live for. That's what we work for. And that's what we work towards. We work towards this treasure, this fellowship, this relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the treasure we want to leave behind. Of all the things that I do, what I want to be remembered by is Christ. Amen. I don't want to be remembered by you. Listen, you ain't got to even remember my name. It has nothing to do with our preaching and our titles. In anything that we do, it has everything to do with the life of Christ in us. Y'all, and that's what we want people to see. That's what we need people. Listen, y'all, that's the work. That's God's work. What did he say? He said, therefore, my beloved, and I heard Pastor Wright even said in his prayer, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does that say about everything else that we do? See, we like to say all the time, only what we do for Christ is going to last, y'all. That's legacy work. That's the work of our legacy. That's the work that's going to last. That's what we ought to be putting our energy and our strength and our time in. Everything else we do is temporal. And in the grand scheme of things and in the backdrop of eternity, it's fleeting and meaningless. It's temporary work. And temporal work is the work that passes away. And I'm like, man, here they go. They are so over the top about this stuff. Wasn't Jesus Christ over the top about us? We ought to be over the top about him. And that's the thing we've got to ask ourselves. What is it that we're doing that's going to last? What is it that we spend our time? What are we investing our time and our energy and our life outside of the will of God that has eternal value? Listen, when we leave here, please ask yourself that question. What am I doing every day in my life outside of the will of God that's going to stand the test of time and eternity? And you might say, well, I'm spending time with my children and my family, working for their education and provision so that they have a future. Yes, I get it. But I'm going to tell you that if God is not at the center and at the core, And is the very object of what you're doing for your children and your family, then what you're doing is fleeting and failing and in vain. He said, for what does it profit a man to gain this whole world and still lose his soul? What future does our children have without Jesus Christ? I'm trying to tell you, what we're doing is investing. Listen, when we're operating outside of the will of God, and we're standing and we're spending all of our time trying to overwhelm and overlay and doing this and investing our time and running our children here, running our children there, doing all this stuff without Christ being the center, we're hedging their future on a world that's passing away. A world that's falling and on its way to destruction. We're investing our time and energy in trying to build up the life of our children in things that are passing away. Our children need Jesus. They need Jesus Christ. And what's sad about it is we have people in church who are trying to hold on to a little piece of this world that's falling away. And that little piece, P-I-E-C-E, gives you a little piece, P-E-A-C-E. Because that's your piece. And it's falling away. And then we wonder why we're dealing with the spirit of depression. And we're losing hope and we don't know where to turn. And we're on medication. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about in the church. Because we're trying to hold on to something that can't keep us and sustain us. We need Jesus Christ, y'all. And we got to understand that those things are temporal. They don't last. And that's the trick of the enemy and the world system. The world keeps us busy chasing and doing and working for things that break, depreciate, fail, run out, run off, and die. Job said, naked in this world I came, and naked in this world I'm going to return. Listen, the only thing that we have worth anything is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only him. And the things of God and the works of God has to do with, listen, everything that he does in us and through us, those are the eternal things. And that's our work. And here's the thing, y'all. See, it's not about what you do that determines whether or not they're temporal or eternal. Amen? It's the motive or the why you do it that determines whether the work is lasting and eternal. It's why we do it, y'all. It has to be, and that's the litmus test, right? That's the litmus test. The way you know, it has to be for the purpose of bringing God glory. See, it's when we know why, that's when we'll know what. The why or the condition of our heart will determine the what. And that will show forth and manifest itself whether or not it's temporal or eternal. And what distinguishes it is the very condition of our heart. See, there's not a category of work that's better than another. The work that I'm doing right here is no more important than the work somebody is doing cleaning in the church. If your heart is broken to the word of God and the purpose and the mission of the church and the mission of God, then you will be just as effective as the preacher preaching the word of God. It does not matter. God does not have a respected person. Everything that we do for the purpose of building up the kingdom has meaning and value. I ain't no more important than you. God don't love me no more than he love you. But it's got to be our hearts. Our hearts got to be broken. Now you hear Pastor Wright, Minister Tober, talking about our hearts have to be broken to a place. And we've got to know why we're doing what it is that we're doing. The condition of our heart manifested through our life and action. That's what ministers. Listen, y'all, we're all ministering. You know that?
Every single one of us. It's not the specific work or action. It's our motive. And when my heart is broken, when my heart and my motives are aligned with what God's will and purpose is, which is for souls, salvation, and fellowship, then there will be a lasting impact in everything that we do. Every single thing that we do, it does not matter. But I got to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's for the purpose that somebody might see Christ in everything that we do. It works for the purpose of fellowship or everlasting fellowship, eternal benefit versus temporary benefit. And we've got to know the difference in what we're doing. See, this is what sets the church apart, y'all. It's what I'm doing for the purpose of someone knowing Jesus Christ. Or am I just trying to meet somebody's temporary needs? See, we've got to be careful. It's not enough to give somebody money or give somebody food or give somebody a job. They got to know that it comes from God and not from us. See, God is not interested in meeting our temporary needs outside of meeting our eternal needs. That's his desire. What did he tell the woman at the well? She was tripping about church and where we worship it, and the Jews worship here and the Gentiles worship there and this and that. And like, what, who going to get? Listen, he said, the water that I give, you'll never ever need another drink in your life. What did he tell the man at the pool of Bethesda? He did not ask him, did he want to be healed? He asked him, did he want to be made whole? See, God is not interested in fulfilling our temporary needs outside of meeting our eternal needs. And that's how we have to be. As a church, we've got to be more concerned about people's souls. Listen, y'all, listen. We are not a civic organization. We are not a political organization. Listen, we're different. We've got to set ourselves apart. We're different from the American Red Cross. We're different from all these organizations and agencies. The difference is temporal versus eternity. What we give benefits the soul for eternity. But we've got to know that. We've got to know the difference. And this is, listen, he said he set eternity in the hearts of men. A sense of divine purpose and eternal purpose in every single living soul's heart. There's a need. People are crying out in this world. They need something, and the church is the only one positioned to give it. And we can't be bothered with wasting our time trying to meet the temporary. Listen, I'm not saying you don't give food. Absolutely. I'm not saying we don't clothe people. Absolutely. But the message of Christ has to be at the core of what we do. Or else we're no different than anybody else. This is the work that lasts. Man, you give me a meal today. Listen, I'm so greedy, I'm going to eat it in 2 minutes. And it's gone. But you give me the word of God and I'm going to feed forever. We've got to know the difference. We've got to know the difference. And this is the work that God's been doing from the beginning, y'all. He's been working towards our salvation. Since the very before time ever was, he's been working towards our salvation. He's been working to get to us, to bring us to himself. And that work has to continue through us. And listen, I got two quick points, and I'm going to be out of your way. We're talking about this eternal work. We're talking about the work that lasts. The eternal work is the work. The first point, the eternal work is the work or the ministry of reconciliation. That's the eternal work. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. He said, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, what, y'all? The ministry of reconciliation, right? And that's the thing. Listen, eternal work is the work or the ministry of reconciliation. And he says here, all things in verse 18. And that all things, he's referencing what he said earlier in verse 17 when he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, right? All things are passed away and all things become new. All things represent our fulfillment as a result of the life of Christ in us. The fruit or the glory of our fellowship or the shared glory that we have with Jesus Christ. It's what Christ was referring to in Matthew 6 when he said, seek ye first the kingdom or the kingdom of God or fellowship. And all these things shall be added unto you. It's what Paul was referring to in Colossians chapter 3 when he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on those things above, not those things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Jesus Christ. And when Christ shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. That's our fellowship. Those are the things when he says, and all things. These are the things that he's referring to. Listen, our replacement, and I heard it earlier, Pastor Wright's comments, and our fellowship lay the foundation for us walking in those things. And that's our qualification. That's our qualification in working in the ministry of reconciliation. That's our qualifications for doing the works that last forever. Reconciled, listen in our text, reconciled by Christ and thus given and charged. Listen, y'all. We've been charged. That's what he means when he says, given to us, Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been charged with the ministry of reconciliation. And guess what, y'all? We're all ministers. Do you know that? Do you know that? That is in your spiritual title. You are a minister. And I heard Pastor Wright say it. Listen, you ain't got, he talked about Mother Lois. She didn't have to be on a street corner preaching. But it was what exuded and was manifest from her life that ministered. And it's what exudes and manifests from our life that ministers. Pastor Wright, Minister Tolbert, Reverend Williams, we ain't the only ministers in this church. Evangelist Claudia, we're not the only ministers. Every single one of us have been given. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. And this is the true work of the church, regardless of your title, regardless of your status. We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're all called. We're all accountable. We're all instruments of God's eternal work. I ain't even going to say what he just said. It's the work of restoring broken fellowship, y'all. It's that simple. It's the work of creating friendship between God and man, restoring what was lost. All this is what, listen, this is our life's work. Bringing man back into agreement and right relationship with God. Listen, that's the work. That's the only work. Listen, that's the only work. That's the only work that lasts. It's the only work that's going to last. And everything we do ought to be geared towards that work. And we ought to be asking the question, is everything we're doing or whatever we're doing, is it for the purpose of reconciliation? And if the answer is yes, let's keep doing it. And if the answer is no, we ain't got no business doing it, because we don't have time. We don't have time to be wasting doing things that don't last. We've only got, listen, do you see what's going on out here in this world today? People need to know Jesus Christ. People need to come into contact with Jesus Christ. People need to see the love of Jesus Christ. People need to see the reconciling work and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ through us, in us, manifested. We've got to be doing it. And we say it. We are a church mindful of its mission. And we got to know what our mission is. And I deal with this in work all the time with strategic planning and all this stuff. And they tell you, what does it mean when you operate out of the scope of your mission? It's called mission creep. It means you're doing things that don't align with what you were called to do. And the church has got to be careful not to commit mission creep. Because then we're operating and we're wasting time doing things that don't align with what God has called us to do. Y'all, we're in the business of doing things that last. Doing things that last forever. Not things that last for a moment, but things that last forever. And then he said in verse 19, to wit, or that is, he was further clarifying, right? He said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, he was further clarifying what he said in verse 18. He was driving the point home. Listen, he said, God was in Christ, Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses or not holding their trespasses against them, and has committed unto us, or has charged us, and has put in us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's repeating, or he's saying the same thing that he was saying to us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, right? When he said, for it pleased the Father that where? In him. In who? In Jesus Christ. Should all fullness dwell. Listen. In having made peace or reconciling through the blood of his cross, by him, we already said it, to reconcile all things unto himself by him. By who? By Jesus Christ. Listen, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, then he makes a very clear distinction in the next verse and says, and you and me, most importantly, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind. He's describing our condition before he reconciled us. By wicked works, now hath he reconciled. He's saying the same thing. And then he goes on in chapter 2 in this book of Colossians. In the 9th verse, he said, for in him, in Christ Jesus, in other words, right? God was in Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete. In him, which is the head of all principality and power. All of God was in all of Christ, working the plan or the ministry of reconciliation. And all of Christ is in all of us, qualifying and equipping us for the ministry of reconciliation. He's letting us know we ain't got no excuse. And listen, because what he said next is so critical in this eternal work, when he said, not imputing their trespasses against them. That's what he did for us, y'all. That's what he did for us. Look, Ephesians 2, our focus text. He said, and you hath he quickened. Listen to our condition, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of this soul. He's describing our old condition. Among whom also we had our conversation. He didn't say some of us had this conversation. He said every single one of us. This was our conversation. This was our condition. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, we was just doing everything we was big and bad enough. Everything we wanted to do, that's what we were doing. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. But I'm so glad that he said, but God, who was rich in mercy, by his great love, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he quickened us. He made us alive. He reconciled us and hath raised us up together and made us sit together. He's positioned us for this ministry. He didn't just position us for us to sit and look all cute and cuddly and say, look at me, I'm a child of God. Yes, yes, yes. But he's positioned us to do a work. That's why you're sitting in heavenly places. Not so that you can sit and look cute, but that we can go about in the ministry of reconciliation. This is what he's called us to. Listen, not imputing. See, that's what God was not imputing our trespasses. I'm so glad I did not get what I deserve. I'm so glad I didn't get what I deserved yesterday. I'm so glad that I ain't going to get what I deserve tomorrow. But I thank God that he loved me. He loves us. And he's called us unto himself. And we can't sit in church Sunday after Sunday and go through the motions, sitting and listening to sermons, and then sitting back, and I heard Pastor Rice say, and sit with a spirit of unforgiveness. Oh, I can't deal with her. I can't deal with him. Oh, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work on that because of what they did or how they, this. Listen, not imputing their trespasses against them. We can't sit and listen and hear this word and not want to run to our worst enemy and tell them about the grace of God. That's what he's called us to. Because that's what he did for us. And I heard Charles Stanley say, how in the world are you going to hold something against somebody that God has already forgiven them for? You cancel out the work of the cross when you operate in unforgiveness. You cancel out the blood of Jesus when you refuse to forgive. He's already forgiven. And I can't claim that blood in my own life if I'm not willing to forgive my brother or sister. I cancel it out in my own life. And somebody might say, Reverend Williams or Marlon, You just don't know. You just don't know what he or she did. You just don't realize. It's too hard. You're right. You're so right, it is too hard. You can't do it. That's why you better die. That's why you better die to yourself. And that's my next point. Listen, the eternal works are the work of God himself and not ours. It's not our work. It was never his plan for you or me to do the work, because we can't do the work. His work. It's his work. It's through our replacement. It's through his life and not ours. That's why we gotta die. See, and I'm gonna tell you right now, if we continue, and I'm not saying we, you, prayerfully, y'all done heard it long enough. And it's a record repeating all up in your head, in your mind, in your heart, till you finally just gave up and said, you know what, I'm just gonna die. Prayerfully. Because I'm telling you, if we don't die to self, he can't work through us. He won't work through us. God refuses to drive and steer the vehicle while we've got our hands on the steering wheel. He refuses. He figures if you're going to run yourself off in a ditch, he ain't going to have nothing to do with it. We can do that all by ourselves. We've got to let go. We've got to let God. We've got to let him do it. Listen, we've got to let him do it. Like I said, sin has already been forgiven. And if we just die to self and allow him to replace us, he'll do it for us. We will walk in what God has already and what he's already done. Stop trying to forgive your enemies. Get your focus off of them. Get your focus on the cross, so that Christ can replace us. And the next thing you know, you won't even realize it. You'll be walking, holding hands with your worst enemy, because Christ's life has been manifest through you to do the things that you cannot do, because God has not called us to do what we can do. And that's why we can never sit and talk about something being too hard. Because yes, it may be too hard for you, but it's not too hard for God. But it's impossible if we refuse to let him have his way in our heart. We've got to die. We've got to die so that he can get to work. And that's what he said. And look at verse 10 in our focus text, and we're almost done. He says, for we are his workmanship, created, where y'all? In Christ Jesus, unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk. Listen, we're just walking in them. That we should walk in them. In other words, we are the product of his craftsmanship or his workmanship, continually molded, shaped, sculpted in the likeness of Christ. Created, listen, he said, created in Christ Jesus. In other words, created and molded in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Listen, that's the work of a skilled craftsman who takes pride in his work, who spends time with every single detail of his creation, making us and ensuring that we come out the way that he wants us to come out when we allow him to work on us. And I've said it before. Listen, the chair for the craftsman who makes a chair, he ain't gonna make a chair and let the chair turn around and tell him that he's a bed. Or to tell him that he's a sofa. But that's the ridiculousness we got going on in this world today. He's crafted and made us specifically after one mold, and that's Jesus Christ. We're made in the likeness of Christ and nothing else. That way, when we go out, people don't see us. And it's undeniable who you are. Undeniable who you are. Some of us walking around looking just like our fathers and our mothers. And you couldn't deny who they was if you wanted to. And that's how it should be. Because we're being made in the likeness of Christ. People ain't got no business seeing us. They should only see Christ. They should only see Christ for the purpose of this work of reconciliation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not our work. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, making us like Christ, making us look like him. The eternal work is all him, from eternity past through eternity future. Salvation, sanctification, and manifestation. That's the work for us. He did it for us. That's the work of salvation. When he took our place on the cross, being the propitiation or the payment or the satisfaction for the wrath of God. He works on us and in us. That's sanctification. Conforming us to his likeness. Bringing an end to the self life. And then he works through us. That's the manifestation. His life instead of ours. That's the work of a master craftsman. That's the work that he's doing in us and through us. But we've got to submit and surrender so he can do his work. And listen, y'all, if we surrender, listen, that's because this is covenant, y'all. It will happen. It will happen because he said so. If it's not happening, we got to get to our closet. That God may do a work on us and in us. Y'all know why the church don't look like the church? Because the word of God is on the shelf. And people are not applying it to allow it to do what it's supposed to do. Religion ain't gonna get nobody saved. We just creating more church people. No, y'all, God has given us an eternal work, a work that lasts. We've got to get to doing that work. And all you got to do is lay down and die. And he will. He'll do it. He'll do it right through us. That's the work of reconciliation. His work through us. Not anything we're doing other than surrendering. And at every point, at every milestone, at every juncture, it's all him and not us. Has nothing to do with us. Because God has called us to do the things that we can't do what he can do. Only he can do what he can do. They used to sing the song, God specializes in things that are impossible. That's what he wants to do. Y'all, listen. Listen and we're done. God is not interested in us having church. He ain't. God is interested in us being the church. And he wants to work an eternal work through us. And I'm tired. It ain't even about me being tired. Prayerfully, it's not me. God help me. And it's the Holy Spirit that's tired. Because I believe that we grieve him when we treat Christ as an appendix. Or he's over yonder there sitting trying to help us meet our goals. It ain't about him helping you meet your goals. It's about Christ working through us to accomplish his work. God works all things after the counsel of his own will, not yours. I'm sorry. Your goals are fleeting. Now the blessed thing about it is when we operate in the will of God and we do his will, he blesses us along the way. And then by nature of you meeting your goals, you're doing the work of reconciliation. But if you're not operating, if you're only living and treating God as this genie in a bottle to get your goals met, your work is in vain. God has called us to do the things that he can do. To save, set free, and deliver. That's the work. And whether you're mopping a floor, cooking food, preaching the gospel, driving the van, ushering, collecting money, I don't care. Let the life of Christ be manifested. Let the love of Christ be manifested in what you're doing. Let people see the joy of the Lord in your face. That they might be drawn. They might see something in you. Stop working like somebody owe you something. And if all you're doing is to work so that the pastor can call your name, God help us. Man, God's going to call your name. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, man, he's going to exalt you through the life of Christ being manifest in your life. That's all the payment I need, y'all. That's all I need is for the Lord to call my name. And if you're still waiting, get in your closet, man. He is calling your name. What a time. What a time in prayer and meditation that we have him validating and affirming who we are in him. You ain't getting that in here. But when you get alone and you meditate on what he said about you, I promise you, he's going to tell you something about yourself to the point where you could care less what the world has to say. You won't, as my mom say, you won't be studying it not one bit. All that will matter is Christ. That's why Paul could leave everything behind. He said, and I count it all as dung. In comparison to the excellency of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it compelled him and it propelled him to give up his own life that the life of Christ might work through him. And look at what happened as a result. Could you imagine what we could do if we got to that place? We got to get to that place. I'll never stop preaching death as long as I live. Because without it, Christ won't work. Death works in us, y'all. So that life can work in somebody else. Outside of that, I'm telling you right now, it's in vain. I'm sorry, it might sound harsh. But he told Peter, he told him, any man who come after me, as we stand, any man who come after me. He didn't say some. He didn't say few. He said any. That means everybody who comes after me. He didn't say should. He said must deny himself. Take up his cross. Follow me. For the one who desires to keep his life, to hold on to this life in this flesh, shall lose it. But the one who is willing to give up his life for my sake shall keep it unto eternal life. Y'all, that's our purpose. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. That's what he's called us to. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That we might be conformed to the likeness or the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what he's called us to. That's our work, y'all. That's his work. Y'all, it started on the cross. And it continues through us if, as long as we're willing to go through the cross. Have you been to the cross? Ask yourself. Are you willing to continually go to the cross? Because until we make up our mind to do that, God can't use us. He can't. He won't. He won't use you. He won't use me. Because he's not going to let me and you mess up his work. On my team, there are jobs that people have to do. And my thing is, we all got to stay in our lane. I can't do your job. Don't try to do my job. Because I'm not going to mess your job up. So don't mess my job up. Listen, until we're replaced, we can't do his job. He's standing ready and willing to do it for us. We got to submit. And when I think about all the times, even for my own family, when I've taken things into my own hand, and I've set my own family on a course for destruction, we can't do it. He's got to do it. He's got to do it. Are you willing to let him do it? He'll do it if you let him. Man, and he'll do something. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever ask. According to the power that works in us. If we let him do it. And is there one here this morning? Man, when you're willing to just lift your hands, your spiritual hands, and say, God, I submit and I surrender. Because my desire is that you do a good work through me. For we are the workmanship of Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what he's called us to. Is there one here today? You don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. You don't know him in the work that he's done for you to bring you to a place of salvation. We invite you to come. We invite you to come. Even those of you who are on Facebook right now, all you got to do, you can put it in the chat and say, I need Jesus. I need to know him. I want to trust him for my salvation and my living and my life. I recognize what he's done for me. And I want to surrender my life that he might continue to do a work. Listen, for somebody else through my life. This is what he's called us to. Is there one in the building or online? If there's one, we ask you to come. We ask you to come to experience, to know this love. To know this love that propelled him to the cross. To give of himself for us. Is there one this morning? Wash me over again. Wash me over. That's the second call. Listen, that fellowship might be broken. You may have turned your back on God, but he ain't never not for one bit a minute ever turned his back on you. And he's calling you back to restoration. He's calling you back to himself to restore you so that you might walk in the reconciliation. Listen, you can't lose your reconciliation. You can't lose what he's done for you. We just lose course sometimes. We just forget. But he's there to remind us and to restore us. Is there one? Is there one? We ask you to come. Anyone, if you desire prayer, we ask that you come. You can come to the altar. We can social distance and we can pray. Is there one that desires prayer? Wash me over again in your precious blood. Wash me over. Can we say that together? How many want to be washed in the blood of Jesus? Wash me over.